Hey, Chevra, I want to just, first of all, welcome back our special Chaver Tov of this year, Binyamin from the Northern Lights. I don't know how it works if you go to Northern Lights, maybe you get stuck there. I don't know, you're going to have to tell us all about it, but Baruch Hashem, hopefully you brought back the Ar of Kedusha, Ki Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Ar. You brought there the Ar of Kedusha, you brought us back the Ar of Kedusha. It's a chus to have you back. And Chaim Avishai from... Unfortunately, we were in Zoyche Mashiach. You didn't get to stay in Eretz Yisrael, but you should be Zoyche to also keep all the Ar of Torah that you gained from Eretz Yisrael and learning in Yeshiva and just continue to grow from it, Bezah Hashem. Shabbos Kodesh, we're Mavarchin Chodesh Shvat. Chodesh Shvat is a big zman of growth. Is when you think of Chodesh Shvat, you right away think about Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat, Chag HaIlanos, is really the beginning of growth. I know right now, it's the snow's still on the ground, it's the middle of winter, and we just went through a crazy cold spell here in New York. But Mamish, when you benchmark on Chodesh Shvat, you think, you know, spring is in the air a little bit. We're going to have Tu B'Shvat, where Chodesh Shvat, according to Beis Shammai, Rosh Chodesh Shvat is already Rosh Chodesh Rosh Hashanah Lilanos, right? That's the Shita of Beis Shammai. And that's already this upcoming week. And that means, what does it mean that this Rosh Chodesh Rosh Hashanah of the Lilanos Shvat, it means that growth is starting to happen. Even if we don't see it on the outside, it's happening behind the scenes. And if it's a big zman of growth, it should be a big zman of Aliyah for each and every one of us. So an amazing idea in the Semach Tzadik. He says, the mazel of Tzvat, the mazel, the constellation of Tzvat is Dli. Dli is a pale. The Oisios of Dli could also be the Oisios, he says, of Yeled, a child. And just like a Yeled, a child, understands that they've only just started in their growth when it comes to Avodas Hashem and growth as a person, so too, each and every one of us during this month as we're growing should feel there's so much more I could become, there's so much more I could be. And should take that the Zman in the Shana is supposed to be misoirer us, supposed to stir us up. And if it's supposed to be a Zman of growth, it should be a Zman of growth in our Ruchnis as well, Bez Hashem Yisbarach. So, you know, if you look over the last two parashios, there's been a little bit of a very strange, mysterious obsession with names, and specifically the names of Hashem. In very strange ways that on the pashtus of the psukim don't really make so much sense. You go back, first of all, in Parshas Shemos, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu to lead us out of Mitzrayim, so famously, and a lot of us learned about this last week already, Vayomer Moshe Hel Kim, Hinerechi Baal B'nei Yisrael, this is Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yigimel, V'marti Lem L'Kev Aseichem, Shalachani Aleichem, I'm going to go to Bnei Yisrael and say that the God of your father sent me to you. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu think they're going to say? Va'omru li, they're going to say to me, Mashmo, Ma'omer Lehem. And they're going to say to me, what's his name? What's the name of God? And what am I going to say to them? Va'yomer alo kim el Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, Eya asher Eya. Literally, I will be what I will be. Tell them, you know what my name is? Eya. Eya sent me to you. That name. So right away, it's very strange. Pashtus. What does it mean? What's Moshe Rabbeinu so concerned that they're going to ask, what's the name of God? I mean, you just had to look him. What does it mean? What's the name of God? And then this strange name that Hashem brings up, that's the name that he wants Moshe Rabbeinu to use. Okay, we'll come back to that. Then we open up the beginning of this week's Sedra. Parshas Ve'era. These Parshas Shemos Ve'era Bo. Even B'Shalach. Really, it's like one long Sedra. So the Pasuk says, Perek Vav, Pasuk Ve'ez. The first Pasuk of the Parsha, Vayedaber Elokim El Moshe. God spoke to Moshe. Vayomer Elov, Ani Hashem. Vayedaber Elokim El Moshe. Which itself is very strange. We'll get back to that because usually, probably the most famous pasuk in all of Torah that's constant. If you ask what's the most common pasuk in the Torah, what would you say the most common pasuk in the Torah is? Vayadaber Hashem Moshe Leimor. How many times in the Torah? I don't know, but it's a lot. That's what they told you in the Northern Lights. You're making up. L'maisa, it's a lot of times, right? Throughout the whole Torah. Vayadaber Hashem Moshe Leimor. Vayadaber Hashem Moshe Leimor. It's definitely, hands down, there's no question, it's the most common pasuk in the Torah. How many other psukim are even doubled in the Torah? Can we think even offhand of other psukim that are doubled in the Torah? Okay, a few, but not many. I mean, the Sarasa Dibros is said twice, but even the Sarasa Dibros, the language is different in a lot of the psukim. And it's not some of it is exactly the same, but not all of it. Vayidaber Shem Moshe Lamer. Here it's Vayidaber Elokim El Moshe. To begin with, interesting. Usually it's Vayidaber Hashem, here it's Vayidaber Elokim. So we see the name of Hashem is used differently. Again, something strange in the usage of the name of Hashem. And then, the end of the pasuk, Vayomer Elov, Ani Hashem. And he says to him, I am Hashem. So it starts Vayidaber Elokim, and he says, I am Hashem. Either just say Vayidaber Hashem or Moshe Lamer, like normally. Or say, Vayidaber Elokim, Moshe, Ani Elokim, maybe. I don't know, meaning it's a little bit strange. What's going on here with all these constant changes in the name of Hashem? And he's saying, I am Hashem. And then it continues. Listen to the next puzzle. It gets even stranger. Ve'era el Avram vel Yitzchak vel Yaakov. I appear to Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Bekel Shakai. Ushmi hash as Kel Shakai. Right? Meaning I appeared to them Bekel Shakai as Kel Shakai, which are other names of Hashem. However, in that pasuk ends, which is maybe of the most strange of it all, Ushmi Hashem, Ushmi Yud Kei Vav Kei, Lo Nadati Lahem. And that name wasn't known to them. What's going on over here? We find, so again, we start out that he says, Elokim comes to Hashem and says, I am Yud Kei Vav Kei. And by the way, I appeared to the Avos as Kel Shakai, and Yud Kei Vav Kei, Shem Avaya, they know. Avram Yitzchak Yaakov didn't know Shem Avaya, didn't know Yud Kei Vav Kei. Like what? Really? Seriously? If you think, first of all, of the many names of Hashem, Kel, Shakai, Elokim, Makom, Eyeh, of all the names of Hashem that we use and that we, if someone asks what's the most chashiv / the most used, most common, that all Jews use and know is Yud Kei Vav Kei. We pronounce it Adnus, which is another name of Hashem. But that's the most famous name of Hashem. That's the one Lo Nadati to Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. So what's going on here? There's a lot of questions to understand. All these different psukim in the last couple parashas dealing with Shem Hashem. And what are we trying to understand? Specifically in our parasha. So we've spoken many times before at this table and in other places. And something maybe is a little bit of an infatuation of mine. Of Shemos, names. I think names are very, very important. Many Svarim talk about this. How the name of an entity, the name of a person, specifically the name of a place, is there as not just something nice as a symbol of the person, but it's supposed to and does define the essence of that being. The depth and the character trait and who that person or place really is. How important, and let's talk about in people specifically, how important a name is. That's why it's brought down that every single one of our parents, when they gave us our names, was given the Ruach HaKodesh. We were just an 8-day old baby. Did they understand in depth, on the surface of who we were, what our character traits are? Could you tell as an 8-day old baby if this person is a very sympathetic person, if this person is full of humility, if this person, lo aleinu, has a lot of anger in them, if this person is someone who could sit and focus and have asmada, if this person's challenged in sitting and focusing, maybe a little shtickle ADHD, you know? Are you going to be able to tell that as an 8-year-old baby? Shkoyach, every 8-year-old baby's been crying for 8 days, you know? Meaning, okay, and you don't get to sleep for you haven't slept yet. But, meaning, what do you know about this baby? Yes, you know you love this baby. You know there's something so deep and so special that you have tremendous ava for this baby. But the midos that you could sum up and understand the essence of the being, you're going to give a name, so it has to be Baruch Kodesh. There has to be an element of Baruch Kodesh. The Eibishter knows the midos. The Eibishter knows the character, the essence of who we are, and our names, therefore, are given to us and carry a lot of depth. Everything within our names.
Also,
Our Jewish name. Our English name. Listen, our English name, if a parent gave that as well for various reasons and you go by it, but obviously within that is not our essence, not our mahus. That's why if you guys notice, I try always to call my Talmidim by their Hebrew names. Even if generally they don't go by that. This is the main reason. In fact, many tzaddikim have told me over the years, I've shared this with some of you maybe, that when I've gone to them to speak about my own children, my Talmidim, I've heard this many times from tzaddikim, to make sure to call them by their full names. And I don't always do it to my children, but I try to do it every once in a while at least. Why? Because when you call someone by the name, it rings a bell, reminds them of who they are, and somehow pulls out a little more of those kochos, those midos within them, that are supposed to be captured in those names, in every name that we have. And that's why it's important to understand and connect our names. So I often come up with gematrias with names, because there's a different depth within the name. There's a lot of depth within our names. Naming is something very special. That's why the Medrash says that when the animals were in the world and people were in the world at the beginning of time, the angel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was going to name everything and went to the angels, and the Malachim couldn't name, because it's a tremendous chachma, tremendous wisdom to name the animals, to understand their essence and who they are. Who was able to do that? Adam Rishon. And Adam Rishon gave the names to all the animals, and Adam Rishon gave the names himself to Hashem. It's a Medrash over there in Bereishis. So a name is our essence. That's why some like Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest of leaders of Klal Yisrael, the greatest of Tzaddikim. So, Moshe Rabbeinu, how many? We know he had 10 names. Because you can't sum up and you can't summarize the essence and the characters of Moshe Rabbeinu in one name. He needs a lot of names to capture the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu. He needs to be a Moshe, he needs to be a Yered, he needs to be an Avigdor, he needs to be a Chiber. All these names have a lot of depth and a lot of beauty. Yared, he brought down the Torah. Chiber, he attached us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avigdor, the father of Gedarim, defense in and protect Torah. Moshe, Minamayim Mishisiyu, he was drawn in from the water, which was an act of tremendous Mesiras Nefesh that Ba'al Yibaspar did on him, and implanted within Moshe Rabbeinu, and was so much the essence of who he was, being Moshe Nefesh for others, the way she was for him. Each name carries the depth of who he was. Someone like a Moshe Rabbeinu. Had a Talmud call me a little yesterday to discuss, he's making a bris next week, I wanted to discuss the name of his child, and which names to give to the child, how many names to give to the child. Because as he understands, it's something very, very important. So now let's try to answer a little bit. First, getting back to last week's parasha, which is easier a little bit. Moshe Rabbeinu, what was he saying? Now that we understand how beautiful and important names are. So just like, what was he saying when he asked, what name should I tell Bnei Yisrael sent me? What name of God? Moshe Rabbeinu understood that when he's going to tell Bnei Yisrael, God sent me, you can't summarize God in one name. Just like Moshe needed 10 names, so much more so, the Eibishter, the Ribbono Shel Olam, who's Shalom, who's perfect and complete in every way. One name can't capture the essence of God, and that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam has so many different names. Shem Havaya, Adnas, and Shem Kel, and Shakai, and Elohim, and Elokeinu, and okay, those are similar with the different, but even somewhat different in some ways, even though it's just in the suffix, and Makom, and Eya, and there's so many other Kabbalistic names. If you start learning Kabbalah and you go through the Zohar, you find mamish tons of other Kabbalistic names, which some of us are familiar with, maybe from the Tefillos of Yom Noroyim, and you see on the bottom of the Machs there are certain names, and if you use certain Siddurim, will bring you out and see with the Kavanas of others, of different names of Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we know there are other names in it, like the Kohen Gadol used in Beis HaMikdash that we don't know today, perhaps. Because each name was just one chelik. Hashem can't be summarized and captured in one name. So you know what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying? Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know different names of yours, and I know you're perfect. Which name is the name that I should tell Bnei Israel so they should understand what's bringing them out of Mitzrayim? Why they're worthy of being brought out of Mitzrayim? Why? What? Which name is epitomizing as in charge of what's happening right now? And Hashem said, Eya, I will be. Eya is the name of Tshuva. Eya Sher Eya. Eya is, I want to be more. I will be. Eya is the name of Tshuva. In other words, Klal Yisrael at the time was the 49th level of Tumah. And they wanted to understand it. What Moshe Rabbeinu was really saying, they're going to understand, why are we worthy? Why would Hashem take us out of Mitzrayim? Because it's the Eya, because of the Koyach of who you're going to be, of who you want to be, of the Tshuva you're going to do. Eya. That's what he meant there. So with this in mind, let's try to understand what's going on in our parsha. What's going on? Vayidaber Elokim El Moshe, Vayomer Elav, Ani Hashem, I'm Hashem. And that name was Lo Nadati Lahem Tavritzig Yaakov. What does that mean? So I saw this Torah from Rav Leibel Eger. And Mamash is a very special Torah on two levels. On understanding the essence of the world and understanding our avoda in the world. There's a Rashi, a very famous Rashi, all the way at the beginning of the Torah. One of the first Rashis in the Torah, in the first Pasuk of the Torah. The first Pasuk of the Torah says, Bereishis bara Elokim es Hashemayim es Haaretz. Now, if you know a little bit about these Shemos of Hashem, the name Elokim, which we translate as God, is the name that is representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'derech din, judgment. When there's din in the world. A little bit of a harsher name. That's why it's Vayidaber, as opposed to Vayomer, by the way. Vayidaber is Lashon Kasha, is a little more hard language. Vayomer is Lashon Rak, is softer. So it's in Parashas Ve'era, we open up Vayidaber Elokim, Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. Right? So it's very interesting. The first Pasuk in Torah talking about creation of the world is with Elokim, with Din. What's going on there exactly? Because later the Pasuk says, Bayom Asos Hashem Elokim Eretz V'Shamayim, using both names. Because Shem Havaya Yudke Vavke is name of Rachamim, of mercy. He will always be. Because if you see the big picture, you'll see the Rachamim that Hashem has for this world. So Rashi there says, Bereishis bara Elokim. Rashi says, V'lo Amar bara Hashem, bara Yudke Vavke. Because Hashem first wanted to create the world with only complete judgment. The Rosh Ein Olam Iskayim. He saw the world wouldn't be able to have kiyamis to it. To live with complete judgment. Pretty scary. We know, each and every one of us, that our mitzvos and averas have consequences to them. Schar v'onesh. Imagine the moment one did an avera, the consequence would occur, din, immediate din. Be a pretty scary world. Be a very scary world. Mamish, crazy. The minute you do something, chayv misa, misa. Chayv karis, karis. Malchus, malchus. Very scary to live such a life. The world wouldn't be able to, the world wouldn't be able to exist. The Rosh Ein Olam Iskayim, the Hiktim, this Rachamim, the Shafalim. So therefore, he jumped before it and just brought in mercy, brought in Rachamim, which is represented by Shem Havaya, and then added in the din which he wanted, and that's why he says later, B'yom Asos Hashem Elokim Eretz V'Shamayim. But the first pausing in Torah is Bereishis Bara Elokim, because that's what Hashem really wanted. He really wanted it to be din. Now, why is it important? Why is it important to understand that Hashem wanted it to be din if ultimately He has rachamim in the world and we have rachamim and we could rely on that rachamim and know that Hashem is all merciful and will forgive us and waiting for us to do tshuva? It's very important for each and every one of us. What's olah b'machshavo? So that we aspire to live up to that. Meaning if we understand, don't just rely on the rachamim of Hashem, on the mercy of Hashem. Understand that He wants us and He wishes that we can live a life of din. That's b'di'eved. The rachamim is a b'di'eved. That's what Rashi is telling you. The mercy is a b'di'eved. It's not a l'chachila. You know, imagine a child, so he knows that his parents are all forgiving and his parents are all full of rachamim. And his parents tell him to come home Matei Shabbos Kodesh by Ichveis Nesh, 1 o'clock in the morning. I want you to be home by 1. Now he's out, let's say he's not involved in Kol Avir Tachas HaShemesh, he's just hanging out with his friends, he went bowling, he's having some pizza, he's hanging out, a senior in high school, but Mamish not doing anything. And it's 12:45, and he could go home, but his friends are still hanging out, they're still having a good time. Chveis Nish, they want to, whatever guys do, go and play some pool in someone's basement, okay? So, like by the Thalheims back in the day, Mamish, nothing to bear. I'm not talking anything to me. So he could decide at that moment. Does he, his parents want him? Now he's thinking at 12:45, he's thinking, I could go home now. And I could go home and everything, that's what my parents really want. And make them happy and do what they asked. Or I could go home at 2:30 in the morning. And I know my mother's actually waiting up for me. And I'm going to really, if you really thought about it, keep her up somewhat. Because she doesn't feel comfortable going to sleep until I'm home. But I know also my parents love me so much and they're all forgiving. And they know and they trust me and they'll see I'm fine and I'm not coming home drunk. And I'm not coming home... they'll see I'm fine, and in the morning they'll just say, you know, you should have come home by then. But they'll completely forgive. It won't be any oynish. There won't be any punishment. Won't be any consequence. All rachamim. I'll say I'm sorry. We're having a good time. I apologize, and all be good. You know, there's going to be that rachamim by your parents. So now the question is, what do you do? So someone who's less mature and less responsible will stay out till 2:30 and come back and deal with the rachamim. But that's not what your parents really want. Doesn't mean you chose the right thing to do. You didn't do it right. You should have been home by one. Your parents do everything in the world for you. Your parents are the ones that gave you the car. Parents are the ones that gave you the credit card. Parents are the ones that do everything. And they asked you because they know it's important for you to get a healthy night's sleep. Because you have yeshiva in the morning, or chlesnish, whatever it is. And you went and you decided not to go meikra adin, to build off the rachamim. Is that the right thing to do? Now you have that choice, but it's not the right thing to do. That's what Rashi is telling you. Meaning, yes, it's true. Hashem gives us rachamim. And if we mess up, yes, could we have opportunity for tshuva? He gives us an opportunity for tshuva. And he gives us Roshana. He gives you Yom Kippur. He gives an Elul. Doesn't mean we're supposed to try to rely on that. L'chadchila, I want to keep kol ha-Torah kula midas hadin. Kol ha-Torah kula midas hadin. That's very important. Now, what's going on here? What's this pasuk, Vayidaber Elokim El Moshe, with that enlightenment of the beginning of time and understanding a little bit about Din and Rachamim and Shem Haivaya and Shem Elokim? Vayidaber Elokim El Moshe. You know why Vayidaber Elokim El Moshe? Because Moshe is being spoken to right now during the Avdus of Mitzrayim, during the most harsh of exiles for Klal Yisrael, backbreaking labor, Avodas Parach. It was a time, Mitzrayim was surely a Zman of Din. A very serious Din, very serious Din. So Ve'edaber Elokim El Moshe at this point. Because no one was able in Mitzrayim to see Rachamim, it was all Zman Din. Ve'edaber Elokim El Moshe. However, Vayomer Elov, Ani Hashem. Vayomer Elov, Ani Hashem. He wants Moshe Rabbeinu to know, I'm the God of Rachamim. And you can see, I'm here to take you out. I'm here to take you and bring you ultimately to Eretz Yisrael and give you Torah, and I'm all full of mercy. And the MS behind all this, what seemed to be Din, there was Rachamim the whole time. Ani Hashem, I'm really full of Rachamim. There was really Rachamim the whole time. There was really mercy the whole time. You might see it as Din. You can't handle that. You have to understand there's Rachamim there. You have to understand, this is, as Mefarshim explained, there's a Kor HaBarzel. You have to understand that this was a way to teach us how to be an Eved, so that I could be an Eved Hashem, that we shouldn't be so involved in Gashmias as an Eved. You learn what it is to be an Eved of Hashem in a proper way. And I'm all Rachamim. In fact, the whole time, I'm sorry already, I've been told you're going to go, there's going to be Geula. There was Rachamim behind it the whole time. There's going to be a Kapal Zatorah. There's going to be Eretz Yisrael. And this was being told to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayomer Elov, Ani Hashem. And then that's a lesson to us as well. Yes, it's true. And we'll get back to this, like we said before, that the way we live this world and the way we act should be Al Pi Midas Hadin. And then when need be, rely on the Rachamim that Hashem was Meshutuf. But the way we see Hashem, we should see that it's all Rachamim. Vayomer Elov Ani Hashem. When we're going through a difficult time, when we're going through a tzaras, whatever that might be, there's Ani Hashem behind it, and we have to believe that. And that's very important. But then continues on the next pasuk, Ve'era El Avin Yisrael Yaakov, El Yitzchak El Yaakov, I appear to Avin Yisrael Yaakov, B'kel Shakai, is Kel Shakai, U'shmi Hashem Lo Nadati Lahem. They didn't know the name of Hashem. What does it mean they didn't know the name of Hashem? It means they had no need to ever know this name. You, we, normal people need to see rachamim and everything, and need to know there's rachamim that we can rely on ultimately. But when you're one of the avos, you're obviously getting Yaakov. First of all, they were able to live in the world, live a life, all api midas adin. There's no, I need to rely on doing tshuva and the rachamim. I'm going to keep letter of the law as best as I can every single moment and understand the way the world is supposed to be is api din. And also in this world, they don't even need to be reminded of the rachamim in the world, because they believe it's all Yad Hashem. Everything's Yad Hashem, it's all good. It doesn't matter whether I see the rachamim, I don't see the rachamim. It's all good. Ushmi Hashem lo nadati lem, there was no need for that Shema. Just like Olah b'machshava, Hashem would have liked there not to have needed this Shema Vayu, basically what the first Rashi is saying. They didn't need it. They didn't need it in the way they lived their lives, they didn't need it to see it in Hashem. We need it. But it's a big chizik to us, even though we need it not to have to rely on it, and to push ourselves to live our lives as if we don't need it. Very big, very big. I saw in the Tzemach Tzadik from Vizhinitz, and I've been quoting him a lot lately, I've been loving this Torah, Mamish, such a special matana, Hashem brought me the Sefer. Ve'era, the name of the poem, Ve'era El Avram El Yaakov. Ve'era is Gematria 208. It's an easy one, right? Reish is 200, Vav is 6, Aleph, 208. 208 is exactly Gematria Yitzchak. Yitzchak is Midas Pachad, is Midas Kvura, is Yira. The era I appeared al Avraham to Yaakov midin yira. They only needed yira. They didn't need any of the rachamim. But we see ultimately for us it's synthesized in Vayedaber Elokim Moshe Vayelim or Elav Ani Hashem. You know, it's interesting. There are three times where we see the synthesis of Hashem Elokim, where we see this combination of din and rachamim within Hashem. We see it in that first Rashi, Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim es haaretz. And where Rashi points out, from a pasuk later in Bereishis, ultimately Hashem made the world with both. There was Hashem and Elokim. We see right here, Vayedaber Elokim Moshe Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem, that in Mitzrayim, so in the creation of the world, there was a synthesis as a foundation that we have to understand of din and rachamim, that l'chachilu we should be al pidin, but we know this rachman, live al pirachman. In Mitzrayim in Egypt, there was a synthesis as well. And Yitzias Mitzrayim, and where else do we find it? Where else do we find the combination in a pasuk? Where else do we see it? Parshas Yisro, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hatzasicha Mitzrayim. I'm talking about it being taken out of Mitzrayim, but in the first of the Aseret Divros, Amunah Hashem, which is the foundation of everything, as we've spoken about so often. Amunah Hashem, which is the foundation of everything, believing in Hashem. There's Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. I'm Hashem, Havaya, Elokecha, Midas Adin. These three places, creation of the world, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and giving you a Torah. These are the yesodos of what make us a Jew. Think about it for a moment. Where's all Amunah come from? Amunah is the foundation of Kol HaTorah. Why do we keep Kol HaTorah Kula? Because we believe in Hashem. That's the famous, right, Shita, as we've mentioned many times, of the Ramban on the Bahag, where the Bahag doesn't have Amunah as one of the 613 mitzvahs, because it's the foundation of all mitzvahs. Why do I put on tefillin every morning? Because I believe in Hashem. You're going to put on tefillin because you don't believe in Hashem? Okay, some people do because it's complete rote and mechanical, but it's not why you're supposed to be putting on tefillin. Mitzvah srichas kavana, we paskin. What kavana? That I believe that Hashem told me to do it. That's why I put on tefillin. Why am I going to keep Shabbos as Shabbos? Some people keep Shabbos because they need the day off. We keep Shabbos because Hashem told me to keep Shabbos. Now hopefully there's other depth and other amkus and tami mitzvahs. That the basic is Hashem told me to do it. Every mitzvah is rooted in Amunah. And at the source of Amunah we find Hashem Elokecha, this synthesis. Now where's Amunah come from? There are two places all we speak about all the time. Amunah comes from Anoich Hashem Elokecha Asher HaTzasicha Mitzrayim, Yitzias Mitzrayim, and that's what made us into a nation. And Amunah comes from because Hashem created the world. All the Mefarshim asked why that's not in this pasuk. I'm not going to get into that right now. But because Hashem created the world, and He took us, that's when He created the world, and therefore is the God of the entire world. Why is He more closely related to Klal Yisrael, where the Am Nivchar, as you see, is Mitzrayim? And then the mitzvah itself is Anoich Hashem Elokecha, Zamuna. And in all three of the places we find the synthesis of what? Of Yira and Rachamim. Of Din and Rachamim. Of Elokim and Havaya. And we have to understand that synthesis in our life. Of course, believing that Hashem is Baal Rachamim, merciful, but living our life as He's Din. And when we see the world, not needing even to see it. Sometimes, we're in such tragedy, if I saw the Rachamim, it would be okay. Don't need to see the Rachamim. Just believe it's Yad Hashem, it's Emes. Know there's Rachamim there without seeing the Rachamim. You have to have such a Munah B'Hashem. Like the Avos, so Shemi Hashem L'Nedati Lahem. But we've got to live our lives first like that. When you live your life like that, and you try to, when you live your life in a way that is Api Derech Din, and not just relying on Hashem being Baal Rachamim, you'll start to see the world as Din also in a beautiful way, not needing to see the Rachamim. It's important to act like this towards the Rabbeinu Shalom. You know, we have to understand that's Emes. You know, sometimes in the world of addiction, unfortunately, sadly, I deal with this world too much. And whatever that addiction is, last week we spoke at length about when it comes to addiction towards pornography or the such, or sex addicts, terrible, terrible, sad addictions. But whether that's that type of addiction, or it's addiction to a substance abuse, whether it's addiction to alcohol, whether it's addiction to some sort of drug. So it's a very big machla, very terrible machla. And it's not just a machla for the individual. It's not just a sickness. He's the one who has the sickness, but it's not only a nisayon. It's not only a tzara for the individual. The entire family goes through it. Like I spoke about last week, when that individual, a man is struggling in these areas, so it's not just he who's in the tzara. If he's married, his wife is mamish in the deepest of terrible places he dragged her in, as we spoke about last week. And if someone's addicted to some sort of lo aleinu, God forbid, some sort of drug or some sort of whatever it might be, even if it's just cigarettes, that has an effect on the entire family. That has an effect on his wife. It has an effect on his children. It has an effect on others. Stop being so selfish. And understand that you're bringing other people down with you. Something that we have to grab onto and understand, this terrible machla. So then the family, whenever you have lo aleinu, God forbid, the family... So the family of an addict wants to be there for the addict. Right? The family of the addict wants to be there for the addict. And wants to help the addict. And help the addict learn to get through whatever that addiction is. So the initial response that comes from a very good place, but all therapists will tell you is very wrong, the initial response of family members is tremendous love and affection, which is important. Tremendous acceptance. And really just being there for that person in a very, very strong, special way. But most good therapists will tell the family, will tell the parents, will tell the wife, will tell the whoever is involved in the family, that when it comes to addiction, there has to be some level of tough love. If not, you become an enabler. Because if that individual knows, no matter what they do, there's this deep unconditional love, and you're just going to accept them back in whatever it is, and you're going to have this home for them to be in, and this bed to come back to, and any wrong they do is not going to affect their life. So they're going to just continue to go, and continue to do, and never learn their lesson. And sometimes tough love has to teach them that what they're doing is wrong, it won't be accepted, it's not tolerated. And that's the deepest of love. And it's very hard, but that's the deepest of love. And that's din. That's din. But it's din that they need. And really deep inside that din is actually rachamim. Because if you understand it well, that's what they really need to grow. And that's your love for them. And that's the Eibishter's synthesis of din v'rachamim. In this world, sometimes it looks like din, but it's really rachamim behind it. But we don't have to always wait to see the rachamim. Just like the avos, Oshmi Hashem lo nadati lahem. And when we serve, the Rebbeinu Shalom definitely has to be b'derech din. And that's when there will only be good things in the world. That's what the Eibishter wants from us always. And that's when there's Geula. That's when Vayedaber Elokim Amoshe Ve'elam Elav Ani Hashem. Throughout all Mitzrayim, I was there the whole time. Ani Hashem, and I'm going to take you out now. I saw one last tremendous Torah in the Semach Sadik, the Vizhis Rebbe. He says, Elokim. Elokim is Gematria 86. I mean, if spelled with the hey, obviously the proper way that you say Elokim, not the way we pronounce it when we don't want to say Hashem's name. So Elokim is 86. 86 exactly Gematria Kos. Kos. So B'derech Remez, he wants to say, when you understand that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu of Din and you're Makabel a Kadosh Baruch Hu of Din, so you have Kos Yeshuos Esa. Eventually you're going to carry Kos Yeshuos. So that will lead. When you're able to be Makabel of Yadaber Lakim, and not waiting, you'll see Kos Yeshuos Esa will bring a Kos, the Lakim will lead to Yeshuos. Kos Yeshuos Ekra, Esa, and then what? Uvishem Hashem, Shem Yud Kevav Ke Ekra. If you're able, and if you're able to accept and say, there's an Eibishter of Din and it's all good, and I'm going to serve that Eibishter of Din, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring Geula, Uvishem Hashem Ekra, and you'll also see the Rachamim. In the end, it's all Rachamim, and we'll see that it's all Rachamim. It's just hidden in Din. And that's the Shutuf. That's Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzichem Eretz Yisrael. That's Vayedaber Elokim Emosha Vayomer Lavani Hashem. That's the way each and every one of us have to live our lives. We have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if there's only Midas Hadin. We have to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu and know that even if I don't see it, it's all Rachamim. And I don't have to see Yishmi Hashem Lon Adati Lam. And when we do that, we'll be Zoyche to Kais Yeshuas Esa. We'll be Shem Hashem Ekra. We'll be able to see Geula and Simcha for all of Klai Yisrael. See Geula and Simcha Beprat for those who need Geulos and Yeshuos. We'll be Zoyche to only have Simcha and Bracha until we're Zoyche Bez Hashem Mizbarach. So I'm sure you saw, and those who see the email, next week, Bez Hashem Shir will be in Yerushalayim Er HaKadosh. I'm going there to Yisrael on Sunday, and Amir Tashem, it's going to be in Yerushalayim Er HaKadosh from this point on. Because Amir Tashem Mashiach Zidkein is coming, and this is the last, so this was the last Shir in this bias. So you could say, when you leave tonight, you can give a kiss, and it was nice, all the Torah that we learned here together, all the Ruchnias that we learned there, and we'll see everyone next week in Yerushalayim Er HaKadosh. Next week, except for, I already set it up for Yeshiva and Tivarye. In the future, we'll figure out if that's where we'll continue or we need somewhere else to learn. But it'll be somewhere, Bez Hashem, close to Kodesh Kedashim, obviously, Bez Hashem is Baruch. And Bez Hashem, Kodesh Yeshua Esau, V'Shem Hashem Ekra.